51. Morning sunlight streamed in through the large square window when I blinked open my eyes, and I came awake with a mouth on my neck, trailing tiny hot kisses down the side of my throat. Oh, wow. My lips curved up at the corners, and then I gasped as his tongue flicked over the sensitive spot just below my ear. My back arched on its own accord when his hand smoothed from where it rested on my stomach over my shirt to the curve of my hip. That was a great way to wake up. Last night was, well, it was literally orgasmic, and although we hadn't been asleep that many hours, I woke up feeling like I'd slept for a year. Though I doubted the orgasm he'd given me with his clever hand had anything to do with that. It was the fact that last night, something happened. A bit of the weight lifted off my chest. There wasn't this wall between us. Was there ever one? Funny thing was, the wall might have never been there, at least not on his side. He'd known about the fire, about my brothers and the money, the scars and how horrible all of it was. He'd known before he'd even seen me face to face, and he didn't care. I didn't fully get it, probably would never really understand, but when he set out to proving he was into me last night, with all the kissing and the touching, like I had decided before, I was going to stop trying to figure it out. My shorts were off, lying forgotten somewhere on Jax's bedroom floor, and when his hand drifted below the thin strap of my undies and glided over my bare skin, I bit down on my lower lip. His other hand had made its way down my upper thigh and curled around the back of my knee. He lifted my leg up, forcing my behind into the groove of his lap. There was definitely more than a flutter between my legs at the feel of him pressing into me from behind. The heaviness was back in my breasts, and with a wet, sensual kiss against my pulse, I was already damp, and it took everything not to immediately start squirming. Last night, Jax hadn't... he hadn't gotten off. After he'd done his thing to me, he'd tucked me into him, my back to his front, and that had been it. I'd wondered then how he could give and not get anything in return, but I'd been too thrown off by everything to question it, and a wee bit blissed out to move, and I hadn't had the courage to change it. Mainly because I had the general idea of what to do to rectify that problem, but I probably needed a learner's curve. But today was a different day, and I was going to grow some lady balls, starting right now. I shifted onto my back, and Jack stared down at me, all sleepy and sexy-looking. Before I could say or do anything, his lips were on mine, starting off with a slow and sweet kiss. The slight stubble on his cheek tickled my palm as I skated my hand down his face. He shifted over me, resting one leg between mine, pressing his thigh against the softest part of me, and I could feel his hardness against my lower belly. The feel took my breath.
"Morning,"
he rumbled against my parted lips. "Hey." One side of his lips tipped up. My heart was starting to speed up for various reasons. For one thing, his mouth was on mine again, and this kiss was much deeper. His tongue was moving against mine, and then it was his right hand. It was on the move, and I had a feeling it was heading to where it had gone last night. To my breasts. I tensed, like I had before, and I had to force myself not to grab his hand, like I had done before. I didn't this time, because I knew there wasn't a point. When he wanted to touch me, he was going to touch me. And he touched me again. His large hand closed over my left breast, and I knew he could feel the scars there. But the caress didn't stumble as he zeroed on to the now aching tip. Jax was good. So good that even through a t-shirt and a tank top, he had my nipple puckered when his thumb and forefinger got going, and sharp tingles arced from my breasts to down south. I gasped into the hot kiss, raising my back, and I wasn't disappointed when he moved to my other breast.
"Fuck, I love that sound you make,"
he all but growled against my mouth. He kissed me again.
"I want to hear it again."
So he made me make that sound again, and I was done with not squirming, but I wanted to touch him. I knew I needed to act now, because if I didn't, his hand would be south again, and, hell, all bets were off. Smoothing my hand off the back of his neck, I slid it across the rough skin of his chest, and almost forgot what I was doing when I imagined what our skin would feel like with nothing between us. Not like that was ever going to happen, so I refocused on my path, trailing my hand down his side, then across the flat expanse of his upper stomach.
"What are you up to?"
he asked, voice husky.
"Nothing."
Jax lifted up so there was space between our bodies, and I loved the way his abs tightened with the movement. He arched a brow.
"Nothing."
Shaking my head, I bit down on my lip as my fingers skated around his navel and reached the band on his black boxer briefs. With a deep breath, I slipped my fingers under the band. He caught my wrist.
"You want to touch me?"
Warmth flooded my face, and a different kind of heat hit my veins.
"Yes."
I forced my gaze up, meeting his.
"I want to give you what you've given me."
The hunger in his stare sent a shiver of awareness down my spine.
"I like that. I want that."
Dipping his head, he caught my lower lip in a quick kiss.
"I'll make you a deal."
"A deal?" He trailed his lips across my jaw.
"Yeah, a deal. You can touch me."
He moved my wrist by mere inches, lowering my hand over the short, crisp hairs.
"But you got to take off the shirt."
"My shirt?" He kissed my temple.
"Yes, the shirt. It's got to come off."
My heart pumped as I tensed. Taking off the shirt didn't mean I was getting naked. I had a tank top underneath, but it would show off the scars on my upper chest, and it would expose some of my back. But I was also on my back, so it wasn't like he'd see that.
"I want you to touch me,"
Jack said to me, and I shivered again.
"Real bad. You want it too."
His teeth skated over my earlobe.
"Just the shirt."
I didn't know if I could do it, but I nodded and then whispered,
"Okay."
Jax acted fast. He drew my hand away from him and caught my shirt under the hem in one fist. His other hand slid under my lower back, and he lifted me up enough to get the shirt up, and then, in a second, it was over my head. I lay back down, eyes wide and heart racing. His gaze met mine as he dropped the shirt on the floor, and then his gaze slowly tracked down my face, over my throat, and lower. His stare lingered on my chest, and fear pierced my belly. I moved to cross my arms.
"Don't you dare,"
he ordered in a gentle way.
"There's nothing you need to hide."
My chest squeezed as his hand trailed over my breast. It was then I realized what he was staring at. It wasn't the small, visible patch of skin between my breasts, or the slice showing above my left breast. It was something else. The tips of my breasts were aching and hard, pushing against the thin material of the tank top, and my breath caught in a half-laugh, half-sob. His gaze flicked back, holding my stare as he lowered his head. His mouth hit the skin between my breasts first, and he kissed me there. Then he went to the tip of one breast, also kissing me there, through the material, and he sucked deep, causing my back to arch clear off the bed as a riot of sensation rocketed through me. God, I'd never felt that before.
"You like that?"
he asked. I panted out a breathy, "Yes." He moved to my other breast, and that was awesome. I could barely breathe as his hand got involved, and I almost forgot the purpose behind taking off my shirt, because I had no idea how sensitive I could be there. But then he lifted his head. He got down to his side of the deal, and he was fast about it. Reaching down, he hooked his fingers under the band of his boxers and shimmied it down his hips. I got my first complete look at him. Wow. That was also awesome. Jax was... I stared at him, taking in the thickness and length, and yeah, I really had no words.
"I don't mind you staring at me like that, but this is going to be over before you even touch me if you keep it up."
"Seriously?" I dragged my gaze to his. He grinned.
Seriously?
I kind of like that, I admitted. There was a pause, then he threw his head back and let out a deep laugh.
I bet.
Before I lost my courage, I reached between us and wrapped my hand around him. His laughter faded into a masculine moan, and then his hips jerked as I slid my hand up his length. I didn't have to fumble around and figure out what he liked, because he placed his hand over mine, setting up a rhythm and pressure. He even did this thing with my thumb, where he moved it over his tip, and by the way he kissed me after, going deep, I knew he liked that. So after I made another pass from the root to the tip, I did it again.
Fuck, he growled, burying his head in my neck.
Kissing and licking and touching him already had my turned-on body revving into high gear. When he got a hand between our bodies, careful of what I was doing, I spread my legs for him.
God.
His finger moved over the center of my undies, and then his fingers were inside. At first contact of his skin against mine, I cried out, and when I said his name, he ground out another, fuck. He moved his hand, and then he lifted my hips, dragging my panties down my legs. My hand tightened on him as I really started to get breathless. I opened my eyes, and tension coiled tight in the pit of my belly. What I saw was like a blast to the hormones. My hand wrapped around him, and he was swollen, pink, and hard. But beyond that, my undies were down my thighs, almost to my knees, my legs open and his hand between them. Then he slid a finger inside me, and my body reacted. My hips punched up, and my head kicked back.
Kella, baby, you're so tight,
he muttered, and by the heaviness in his voice, I figured this was a good thing. He moved his fingers slowly, a lot slower and smoother than what I was doing, and then I stopped doing everything, because he picked up the pace.
I'm thinking you like this.
I didn't know what to say to that, but I knew I wanted more. I wanted him. The finger was great, but I wanted more. I didn't stop to think about where I was taking this. I want you.
I know.
My eyes narrowed, and he chuckled as my hand tightened around him. I could feel him pulse against my palm. I want this, I told him in a thready whisper. I want this in me. His hips thrust halfway through what I said, and he made that deep sound again that curled my toes. He dropped his forehead to mine, and the next kiss was sweet and soulful, a different kind of kiss. As that kiss shifted into something far more sensual, he added another finger. Oh, God, I gasped against his mouth.
I want nothing more than to be in you. God, I could come just thinking about it.
He moved slowly, dragging out the feel.
But this thing of yours has to come off.
His words cleared the haze. My tank top?
Yep, baby, it's got to go.
His tongue trailed along the seam of my lips.
You ready for that?
Okay, today was a different day, but it wasn't that different, and some things would never change. My shirt might come off, but the tank top was never, ever coming off. No, I whispered.
That's what I thought.
He kissed the tip of my nose.
But you need to understand something, honey. I'm not going to get in you until we're skin to skin.
My pulse thundered at his words, but the look I gave him said we'd see about that, and he answered with an amused chuckle and another scorching, hot, wet kiss. His hand shifted between my legs, putting his thumb right over the most sensitive part of me. It wasn't long before my hips were moving against him, following the pace he set, and then setting my own. He gave me what he could with those two fingers sliding in and out, his thumb pressing on the bundle of nerves.
That's it.
He lowered his mouth to mine, slanting his head and kissing me deeply as the knot built to a point.
Ride my hand.
Any other time, I would probably die of embarrassment hearing those words, and maybe later I'd care. But right now, I did what he said. I rode his hand as I moved mine over him. Then there was only a subtle warning, a deep flutter, and then the knot whipped out, unraveling inside me, and I cried out as I came. He kept up, prolonging the sensation until my legs went weak. Then he slowly eased his fingers out of me, and then circled his hand around mine. I watched us, through heavily hooded eyes. There was something wholly intimate about this, something that nestled in my chest and got lodged there. His body moved beautifully, full of masculine grace. Muscles along his hips flexed and rolled as he thrust against my hand. His mouth was on mine when he came, and that had to be the most awesome thing out of all of this. Feeling the tremors in his body, the grunt of release that was caught on my tongue, and the way his hips slowed. But the most amazing part was the minutes immediately following. Jack stayed with me for a few moments, half his weight on me, and the kisses went back to something sweet, a tenderness that meant more, and further lodged that feeling in my chest. When he did get up, he strutted into the bathroom in his naked glory and returned quickly with a damp washcloth. He cleaned up what he left behind, and then he slid my undies back up my hips. But he wasn't done there. Wrapping his hands around my wrists, he forced me up into a sitting position, and it was too late when I realized that this exposed my back and everything he could see that the tank didn't cover. Panic exploded in my gut, and I started to throw myself under the covers, but Jax was quick, and the fucker was clever. He slid in behind me, sitting up against the headboard, and then he wrapped his arms around my waist. He tugged me between his spread legs and against his chest, my back completely flush with his chest. I knew he could feel the rougher scars on the back of my shoulder blades, because the tank top was one of those damn razorbacks, and I also knew he'd seen them before he pulled me against him. Maybe not a good long look, but he had to have seen them. Muscles tense, I focused on the window across the room as his arms folded around my waist and he dipped his chin, resting it on my shoulder.
"Did I tell you about the first time I met Clyde?"
he said. Shaking my head, I whispered, "No."
"It was on a Sunday. Met him at the bar. He ended up making me tacos."
He paused, chuckling softly in my ear.
"Said it was tradition if I was going to be a part of his family."
The next breath I took was sharp as a little more of that drowning weight lifted off me. It was later in the day, and Jax was finishing up with his shower before he took me back to the house so I could get ready for our date. Our date. Wow. It seemed odd to be going on a date with everything that was happening, but Jax operated on his life is short mentality, so I wasn't too surprised by it. And in spite of all the craziness and my hang-ups, I was feeling good about the date, about this morning, and about us. Since he was busy, I tried calling Teresa, and I was thrilled when she answered on the third ring. "Yo," she chirped into the phone, "I was just thinking about you." I sat on the edge of Jax's couch.
"You were?"
"Yep. I was wondering if you were still bartending, and if so, were you going to become our official drink mixer when you get back to Shepherdstown?" I laughed. "I don't know if you want that. Most of the people up here order straight from the tap, the bottle, or shots, which is a good thing because I'm not that good at mixing drinks." "I still can't believe you're bartending." I was sure there were a lot of things that Teresa probably couldn't believe about me. "How's the beach?" I asked. Teresa's sigh was audible. "It's great. I have an awesome tan, and Jack really loves it here. It's the first time he's been to the beach." Jack was Jace's little brother, whom he was super close with. "And you should see the two of them together out on the sand. Nothing makes your ovaries get all happy than seeing a hot guy with a kid," she explained. And I grinned, and then I pictured Jax with a kid, and there was a quiver somewhere down below. "Anyway," she went on, "we're leaving in a couple of days, but I swear I think I could live at the beach." I really needed to get my ass to a beach at some point. "So tell me about things in the great state of Pennsylvania. Is everything cool?" "Well, yeah, things have been... they've been great," I told her, glancing at the stairs. I've met a guy." There was silence, and more silence. I frowned. "You there?" "Yes. Yes, you just caught me off guard. You went from things are good to there's a guy, and I was waiting for, more detail. She all but shouted the last word. Like lots of detail. With another glance at the stairwell, I told her about Jax and our date tonight. I ended my impromptu confession with, "So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he likes me." "Well, duh, of course he does. So the place is called Apollo's? Hold on a sec," she said, and then her voice sounded farther away. "Hey, Jace, look up Apollo's outside of Philly." "What? Just do it." "Oh my God." "Back to the liking you thing. Why would you be surprised that he likes you? Brandon totally liked you, but you..." "What?" I interrupted her. "He did not." "Oh, yes, he did. It was cute. You were all quiet when he first started coming around, and he was always looking at you, but then you really didn't pay any attention to him. I thought maybe I read you wrong and you weren't into him." Teresa was smoking crack. "Do you like him?" she asked suddenly. "Because Jace just looked up Apollo's, and by the way, Jace says hi." "Hi," I mumbled back. "She says hi," she yelled, and then, "He says the place looks pretty classy. Do you like him, Kala?" I closed my eyes and nodded. "Yeah, I like him. I really do." "Good. I can't wait to meet him, and to see you, but I really want to meet him." She giggled when I laughed. "I'm happy for you. Seriously." Sighing, I then admitted something kind of scary. "I'm happy too." I got off the phone after making a promise to give her the details, and it was when I tucked my hair back behind my ear I felt it. The awareness of not being alone. Oh no. Biting down on my lower lip, I twisted around and saw Jax standing at the bottom of the stairwell, already dressed for our date, dark denim jeans and a white button-down. He looked damn good. He was also grinning a smug little grin.
"So, you like me? You really do?"
I groaned, cheeks heating. "Shut up." Jax tipped back his head and laughed. He was lucky he had such a great laugh. Lip gloss was almost the finishing touch, and I was glad I was done getting ready. My tummy was grumbling, and I really hoped Jax liked girls with big appetites, because I had a feeling I was going to gorge myself on food. I'd put loose waves in my hair and parted it on the side. I'd skipped on the derma blend again, opting for the light look with smoky eyes. The dress I had on, since I had to bring all my clothes with me, was cute and flirty. It was a strappy, dark blue sundress that was fitted through the breast and waist. Maybe a little clingy around the hips, too, but then it flowed around, the skirt bouncy and ending just below mid-thigh. I paired it with a pair of sandals with a low heel. The final touch was the baby blue cap-sleeve cardigan that ended just below my breasts and was also fitted. Checking myself out in the mirror, I had to say that I looked pretty damn good. I nodded at my reflection like a dork and then marched into the living room. While I'd been getting ready, Jax had puttered around the house and then made his way to the couch, where he was reading his book. Studying his profile, with his chin dipped and his face masked in concentration, I had to say that he was hot. But when he looked up and saw me, he was even hotter. "I'm ready," I said, and then added, "to go to dinner and eat." Yep, it was official. I was an Uber dork. His eyes darkened and heated. In a second, he was on his feet, and then he was in front of me. One hand curled around the nape of my neck, and the other landed on my cheek. His thumb moved along the bottom of my lip and got my stomach doing cartwheels.
"You look beautiful," he said.
And I felt beautiful when he said that. "Thank you. You look beautiful, too." A dark eyebrow rose. "Ugh. You look manly beautiful," I amended, but that sounded even more stupid. "Okay, that was dumb. You look hot." He chuckled as he moved in, brushing his lips over the curve of my cheekbone. He kissed the scar again, and I tensed, but it was for a different reason than the norm, because his lips had skated to the space below my ear.
"I'm hot, and you like me," he murmured. "It's my lucky day."
"Shut up." Another deep chuckle, and then his mouth claimed mine. I loved the way Jax kissed. It started off slow, and then became something entirely different, definitely not slow, and very much deep and hot. Before I knew it, my hands were flat against his chest, sliding up to his shoulders.
Dinner.
He kissed me again, his mouth lingering in the sweetest way.
We're going to be late.
My fingers dug into his shirt as I all but clung to him. I didn't get the chance to respond, because he was kissing me again. In a way, I felt devoured.
Dinner, he repeated, and his lips brushed mine. I made reservations.
Moving my hands down his chest, I tipped my head back and opened my eyes. Yeah, food.
Steak.
His arm tightened around me.
Really good steak.
A grumble came from my stomach, and I broke away as he laughed. Shut up, I said again.
It's cute.
His hands dropped to my hips, so I didn't get very far. I rolled my eyes. More like it, as in my stomach is hungry, not cute. So if we don't get... My words were cut off as something heavy hit the front of the house. Swallowing a startled squeak, I jumped and turned around. What the hell? Jax was already starting toward the door when I heard tires peeling out of the driveway. My heart lodged into my throat as I followed Jax.
Stay back, he ordered, reaching the door.
I didn't listen. The muscles in his shoulders tensed as he unlocked the front door and yanked it open. Slapping my hands over my mouth, I took a step back out of horror. Jax cursed and turned, shielding what waited for us on the front porch, but it was too late. There was no way to unsee the still, ghastly, pale body, or the small crimson hole smack dab in the middle of its forehead. 22. Dinner at Apollo's was canceled. A dead body thrown, literally, at the front of the house would do that. And the body was still out there, right where it landed, while the police did whatever forensics they saw fit. The body had a name, I learned, a name that sent a jolt of fear and dread straight to my very core. The body belonged to one Ronald R. Miller, also known by the street name Rooster, and rumored to be my mother's boyfriend. This wasn't good. Rooster had a bullet in the center of his forehead, and I had heard Reese outside talking to another officer. Rooster's jeans had grass stains on the knees, and it didn't take a huge leap of logic to imagine that he'd been on his knees when that trigger was pulled. Classic execution style. Where was Mom? That question played over and over again because everyone said she'd run off with Rooster, who now had a bullet in his head. I shuddered as I focused my gaze on Jax. He was standing by the window, back tense and his jaw a hard line. He hadn't said much since this all went down. We'd already given our statements, which wasn't much. Clyde reached over and squeezed my hand.
You doing okay, baby girl?
I nodded. He'd shown up about an hour after the police. How he'd found out about what happened, I had no idea, but he arrived in his old-ass truck, shouting and bellowing to be let into the house to see his baby girl through this traumatic experience that ain't right, and a whole bunch of things that included curse words. They wouldn't let him come up on the front porch, for obvious reasons, and they hadn't wanted him coming in, but he yelled until he got his way, and he came in through the back door, which was off the kitchen.
How much longer do you think...
I paused, swallowing against the sudden nausea.
Do you think it will take before they move him?
Soon,
Clyde said gruffly.
It's gotta be soon.
My gaze shifted to him, and I noticed a fine sheen of sweat glistening on his bald head. Jax turned from the window and walked over to where I sat next to Clyde. He didn't say anything as he perched on the arm of the couch. A second later, I heard the front door open, and Reese walked in with a detective wearing tan dress pants and a white button-down like Jax's, but paired with a tie that matched his pants. For some odd reason, I thought about what Roxy had told me about Reese being involved in a shooting. It was the last thing I needed to be thinking about,
but I wondered if it bothered him seeing Rooster like he was. Then again, he probably saw that a lot. I'd almost forgotten his name, the detective's. He wasn't that much older than us, maybe late 20s or early 30s. He was handsome, very much so, with neatly trimmed brown hair and clear blue eyes.
"We're wrapping up now," he said, his gaze tracking over the three of us. "Right now we've got some suspects, and we're going to find who did this."
I nodded. "Okay. Thank you." His lips twitched.
"Now, Officer Anders told me you two have been looking for Miss Fritz."
"Officer Anders?" I blinked slowly, and then I realized he was talking about Reese. My gaze moved to Reese and then to Detective Anders. "Wait a sec. Are you two related?"
"Brothers,"
Jax answered.
"I'm the handsome one,"
Reese said, grinning. Detective Anders tilted his head toward what was now obviously his younger brother.
"Most definitely not the smart one."
Cop brothers. Hot. Sigh. I needed my head checked.
"Anyway," the detective said, "he was telling me you guys have been trying to find your mom, and that you had some problems yesterday when you were in the city. I know what's been going on."
Jax's eyes narrowed, and my stomach sank. No matter what, if the police really knew what had been going down, she was in trouble. Lots of trouble. Reese held his gaze with a look that said, "Sorry, bud, had to."
"He knows about Mac, and that lowlife is the first on our suspect list." "That was obviously a warning to Calla,"
Jax responded, voice clipped.
"But it doesn't make sense. If Mac found Rooster, then how did he not find Mona?"
"Rooster could have decided he wanted out of this mess," Detective Anders said, crossing his arms over his chest.
"He could have come back, and if what your sources are saying is true, if he came back without the dope or the money equal to what they are holding, he would have gotten a warm welcome."
"Yeah, he'd gotten a bullet in the head. Mom didn't have the dope, and she sure as hell didn't have the money. It had to be Mac, because like Richie had said, shit rolled downhill and that shit had rolled all over Mac."
"We're also looking for the man who matches your description that came into the house and took the drugs. We're going to find them," Detective Anders said. "But we need you all to back off. Let us do our jobs. We don't want you around any of these people."
I didn't want to be around any of these people, but I had days left before I was supposed to produce my mom. I didn't respond because I really didn't want to listen to them try to talk me out of what needed to be done. We had a lead. Ike. And Jax hadn't mentioned Ike to the police or to Reese, as far as I knew. Another officer popped his head into the room, announcing the front porch was cleared, and I breathed a sigh of relief. Jax followed Reese and his older brother out after the convo was wrapped up in here. Clyde rubbed his hand over his chest.
"This is a mess."
I sighed. "I know. Mom, do you think she has any idea of what kind of mess she's in?" Clyde nodded.
"I think she does. And I think if she's smart, she's living in Mexico right now."
God, that would suck. Her moving far away and me never seeing her again. But if Mom was smart, that's what she should do. There was no way she'd ever be able to come back here. "If she doesn't come back, what happens to the bar?" I asked, focusing on the least important thing, because that was better than all the crazy, more important stuff. I knew the bar would be left to me if she passed on, but I had no idea about the technicalities if she simply disappeared.
"Baby girl, you don't need to worry about that."
He lumbered to his feet, his chest moving in deep, heavy breaths.
"The bar will be all right."
My brows pinched with concern. "Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm doing fine. You ain't needin' to be worried about me."
I wasn't sure about that, but then Jax returned, without the hot cop brothers. He walked straight to where I sat, grabbed my hand, and helped me to my feet.
"You want to get out of here?"
he asked. Nodding, I wanted nothing more than to get out of here. Clyde made his way over to me, and without Jax letting go of my hand, he gave me his bear hug.
I like that you're not staying here. That's good. Real good.
I was reluctant to let him go when he pulled back. Everything is going to be okay, I told him, because I felt like I needed to say that out loud. He gave me a toothy smile as his gaze moved to Jack's.
Yes, baby girl, it will be.
As Clyde left, I packed up more clothes and personal stuff, and then we headed out to Jax's truck. It was hard walking across that porch without picturing the body there. Once in the cab of the truck, Jax looked at me.
You doing okay?
I thought about that for a moment. As okay as I can be. A slight smile appeared as he reached over, smoothing his thumb along my lower lip.
This shit with Rooster and Mac, with your mom, isn't right. It's serious. It's not normal. And it's okay not to be okay with any of this.
I know, I whispered. His smile spread on one side of his lips.
Like I said, you're brave.
My chest warmed, and instead of denying that, I smiled a little. Can we stop on the way to your house and grab something to eat?
Anything for you, babe.
I liked the sound of that. A lot. It was too late to do dinner anywhere, so fast food was on the menu. At this point, I'd probably have eaten horse meat, so I wasn't complaining when he pulled into the burger joint. Not the best steaks in the state, but it would work. Neither of us really talked on the drive to his townhouse, or as we scarfed down our food. It wasn't until we were cleaning up and I was tossing my soda in the trash that I knew we had to talk about this. Or that I had to talk about this. Do you think Mom is okay? I asked. Jax was at the table, situated by the door that led out to a small deck and postage stamp size backyard. He turned to me, chin dipped.
I don't know.
I closed my eyes as a rush of emotion swelled.
I hate saying that, but I gotta be honest with you.
I appreciate that.
I know you do,
he said, and then I felt him closer, and I opened my eyes. He was right in front of me.
If Rooster bounced, then he was probably feeling the heat. That means your mom's got to still be out there.
Because she wasn't lying on the porch alongside Rooster.
But this isn't good,
he finished. Just like Clyde said. There's no way she can fix this. Even if they bust Mac for what happened to Rooster, there's this Isaiah. That was a lot of dope and a lot of money. She can't get past this.
No, she can't.
A ball lodged in the back of my throat. She really did it this time. I mean, she really did it, Jax. There's no fixing this. There's no making it okay. And she dragged me into this, which has dragged you into this, and I'm so sorry about that. You don't need this. You shouldn't have seen Rooster today.
Honey,
he said softly, cupping my cheeks. He tilted my head back.
None of this is your fault. Know that. There is no need for you to apologize for any of this. You didn't ask for it or bring it on yourself.
What he said was true, but I couldn't help but feel somewhat responsible, because it was my mom after all. Placing my hands on his sides, I did something I hadn't really done before. I leaned into him, resting my cheek against his chest.
What are we going to do?
And that question was important, and it was hard to ask, because I was asking about us, as in I wasn't expecting to do this on my own. That was a huge step. A scary one. Jax folded his arms around me.
We still have Ike to talk to. If we can find your mom.
And what? I asked. We can't turn her over. We saw what they did to Rooster.
I wasn't suggesting turning her over, honey. We get to her first, make sure she understands the kind of shit she's messed up in, and then, well, we go from there.
Going from there meant we made sure she understood that the likelihood of her stepping back in Pennsylvania and not getting shot would be slim to none.
But what about Mac?
He's not going to get near you.
Jax drew back, his eyes meeting mine.
You can trust in that. Neither will Isaiah.
I wanted to believe that. I almost believed that because he said it in such a way that it came across as if he could control such things.
He dipped his forehead to mine.
Sucks about dinner.
My lips twitched, and I said hoarsely, "Yeah, I was really looking forward to that steak."
"There's always tomorrow. Hell, there's always next Sunday."
I closed my eyes, liking the sound of planning that far out. It was only a week, but a week was a lot of time. The next thing just sort of burst out there. "That's the second time I've seen a dead body."
"Babe."
"Not my brothers. Their coffins were closed, and I didn't see them bringing them out of the house. But I've seen a dead body before." I paused, drawing in a shaky breath. "A bunch of people were partying with Mom. This guy, I guess he overdosed or something, and everyone else was too messed up to realize it. I'd come into the living room, and he was lying face down, not moving or breathing."
Jax's chest rose against mine.
"Shit, baby, I don't know what to say. You should have never seen something like that."
"I don't want to see any more dead bodies." A gap of silence stretched out between us.
"It's not something you ever get used to," he admitted. "I saw it a lot in the sandbox, the desert. Sometimes it was insurgents, other times it was innocent civilians caught in the crossfire, and..."
"And sometimes it was your friends?" I asked quietly.
"Yeah,"
he replied.
"I never forget any of their faces."
I bit down on my lip hard. I totally got what he was saying. There were some things that you could never forget. There was so much going on in my head. Mac, Mom, dead bodies with bullet wounds in their forehead, Clyde rubbing his chest, obviously worried and stressed over everything, glorious steak dinners that never happened, coming back here, leaving here, the way Jax had held me this morning with my back pressed against his front. I didn't want to think anymore. Lifting my gaze, I met his. "I don't want to think." Jax didn't question or comment on this. There was a flare of something hot and heady in his eyes, and then he dipped his mouth to mine, and he kissed me sweetly, the kind of kiss that went beyond the heavy and sensual ones. It meant something, and I seemed to open up to it, really feeling it, believing in it. And that was pretty damn spectacular. When the kiss did run hotter, my mouth opened to his, and the moment our tongues touched, his hands dropped to my hips. He pulled me against him, and I could feel him pressing against my belly. I remembered this morning, my hand around him, his powerful body shaking with release. Those memories scorched my skin, but it was nothing compared to the kisses he trailed across my jaw, to my ear and below, over my throat. My head tipped back as my fingers delved into his soft hair.
"You're not going to think,"
he told me in between those wicked nips.
"Not for one fucking second."
"Good," I said. He chuckled against my throat as his hands slid off my hips and quickly made their way under my dress. I really liked where this was heading, especially when he hooked his fingers under the band of my panties. They hit the floor in a nanosecond.
"Ready for this?"
he asked. I nodded as I opened my eyes. He grinned, kissed me quickly, and then gripped my hips. He lifted me right off the floor and placed me on the kitchen counter. Yep. My bare ass was on the kitchen counter. And that was all kinds of inappropriately hot. Jax ran his hands along the inside of my legs. As he reached my knees, he eased them apart. Air caught in my throat, and instinct demanded that I close my legs, but his thick lashes lifted and heated eyes locked onto mine.
"Don't close them, baby."
His voice was deep and rumbled through me. I didn't close them. When he pushed a little farther, I could feel the cool air rushing over me. Warmth crept into my cheeks, turning to a flush that spread down my throat and over my chest. My heart pounded as he dipped his head, kissing me softly as his hands continued up over the top of my thighs. He snagged the hem of my dress the higher his hands traveled. I bit down on my lip as the skirt of my dress ended up tucked around my hips and waist. My hands tightened around the edge of the counter.
"Beautiful," he murmured.
Oh my God, I had no idea what to do or say. I was completely exposed, like wide open, and his eyes were focused on the lady parts in such an intense way. While I knew that what we were about to do wasn't anything abnormal, it was completely awe-inspiring and new to me. Then his hands started moving again, over the inside of my thighs, starting at my knees and slowly, torturously making their way up.
You really are beautiful, Calla. Don't ever doubt that. Hell, there's no way you could doubt that.
My heart grew about 5 times too big for my chest. My skin tingled with heightened senses as he drew back from me.
Trust me?
He asked. Oh, goodness. Now my heart was about 10 times too big. Yes. A lopsided grin appeared, and then his hands were on my hips. He dragged me across the counter, a counter I'd never look the same at again, until I felt like I would slide right off. He didn't touch me or fool around. One moment he was grinning at me, and the next his lower body bent and his mouth was on me. I jerked at the intimate kiss, and heat flooded my veins. What he did was wet and hot and crushing in ways that blew my mind. Jax knew what he was doing. The way he moved his mouth over me, the way he worked his tongue in teasing tastes, building me up until my head kicked back against the cabinets and my hips rose clear off the counter, meeting the strokes of his tongue. The sensations pounding through me were raw and primal and beautiful. He was doing what I asked. I wasn't thinking about all those terrible things. Nope, my brain had checked out, and my body was rocking. I was panting, and these tiny noises I didn't even know I was capable of were coming out of me. And then he was going deep, stronger and faster. I thought my fingers would break off from how hard I was clenching the counter. Jax, I breathed. My body was coiling tight as my eyes opened. I couldn't keep them shut anymore. I wanted to see every moment of this. My chin dipped, and all I could see was the top of his bronze head between my thighs. I took a breath. It went nowhere. The sight of him pushed me over the edge. I cried out, and he growled against me. Release poured through me, and I was lost as every bone liquefied and the whirl of sensations pulsed and throbbed throughout me. Jax stayed with me until my spine curved and my breath slowed. Then he lifted his body, pressing his mouth to my neck.
I love the sounds you made, honey. Better yet, when you said my name like you did. Yeah, I really loved that.
My cheek lowered, resting against his. That was amazing.
You're amazing.
Those two words were so simple and sweet that it broke through something deep and muddy in me. It was like the sun breaking through after a month of nothing but dreary rain, but it was more than those two words. Lifting my head, I let go of the counter and placed my hands on his shoulders. I pushed him back, and he went, only because he seemed caught off guard. I slipped off the counter, feeling my dress settle around my thighs. It was so much more than those three words. It was the weeks spent getting to know him. It was the things I shared with him and he shared with me. It was the fact that he saw me, all of me, and beyond the skin. And he knew what existed on me and inside me, and not just the physical.
Calla.
He tilted his head to the side as he said my name softly. God, his lips were glistening with me, and that was like taking a hit to the chest in the best way. Getting involved with anyone right now, with everything so up in the air and just plain crazy, wasn't smart. It was dumb. But it was the right kind of dumb. As I stared into brown eyes that melted me from the inside out, I tossed my 3 F's out of the window as I reached up, caught the edges of the shrug I wore, and slipped it off my shoulders and down my arms. I let it fall to the floor. His gaze tracked the shrug, and then his stare flew back to my face. I tossed the self-consciousness away as I reached to my side and tugged the zipper of my dress down, and I didn't stop the dress as it loosened all around my body. A look appeared on his striking face, a tautness that tugged at my heart.
Calla.
The way he said my name was different now, and I let myself admit that I didn't just like him as I caught the thin straps and slid them down my arms. I told myself as the dress gathered around my hips and then with a little shimmy fell to the floor that I had fallen for him. Then I was standing in front of him, in the kitchen, the bright light, in nothing more than my heels, and dear God, I was scared. Fucking terrified out of my mind, and my skin felt numb when I realized that it wasn't because I was practically naked for the first time in my life in front of anyone, but because I was in love with him. I was in love with Jax. 23.